was humbled, the Bible says he'll be exalted one day. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's coming again and God's going to exalt him. And he said, those of you who exalt yourself, you'll be abased. But those who humble themselves, he will exalt, if not in this lifetime, in the next one to come. So I get the principles that Paul was teaching. He taught about sanctification, that it's the Lord, well, man's responsibility, he said first, in living the victorious, the mature Christian life, there's man's responsibility, but then he didn't leave it at that. He gave God sovereignty, how it's God that worketh in you, and now you work out your salvation, but it's God that does it through you, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the evidences that you're living a sanctified life, that you're living a mature Christian life, is you won't be complaining and griping. And you won't be disputing with God, because you know what? I tell you, folks, there's a lot of folks here who are going through some hard times, and it can be very easy to dispute with God and say, why, God? Don't dispute with God. God's way is perfect, folks. I know it's easy for me to say, but that's the truth. So Paul presents us with principles, and he gave us reasons why we shouldn't complain, because one day we are the bride of Christ, and we want to be pure and clean and blameless as we stand before Jesus Christ one day as his precious bride. So I got verses 1 through like 17. Those were the principles by which you could live. But then he ended up talking about Paul himself and Timothy and Epaphroditus. And it's beginning to make sense to me now that these are truths he gave, because these are examples for us by which we can carry out these principles. And I love what Paul said. He said, folks, I'm not the main sacrifice. The church is the main sacrifice. I'm simply the drink offering. Now, he fulfilled Romans chapter 12. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And Paul did. Paul sacrificed his life for the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in death, but in life. And I read through the principles and all the things that he went through, the beatings that he suffered for Christ. And he said, everything that was a loss, it was gain for Christ. He said, I'm simply the drink offering. And Paul understood this. And that's the amazing part of Paul. He said, because I'm only the drink offering, the church is the burnt offering. It's the church that is key. And think about it like this. Paul's dead. He died probably 2 years after this. And he was beheaded by Rome. And Paul died. So Paul's influence is gone. But you know what, folks? Today, 2,000 years later, the church lives on. Paul got it. He said, I'm just the drink offering. I'm just the one that's poured upon the sacrifice of the church. And that's the principle that he wanted to see, the example he wanted to set before us, that he wants you and me to be the drink offering. The church is the key. The church is God's foundational principle to carry out his plan and purpose in this age. But he said, just come alongside and be the drink offering and pour out your life for the Lord Jesus Christ and pour it upon that burnt offering. Let it be a sweet savor to God. And that's the example that Paul gave to us. But then he gives us a second example, and it's the life of Timothy. You see, Paul wanted to go to Philippi, but he said, I'm not sure. And you'll find this in verses 19 through 24. Paul wanted to go to Philippi, but he wasn't sure if he was even going to live. He didn't know if he was just going to simply be beheaded and die. So he said, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I have an idea I will. And he did get released, but 2 years later, and he never made it to Philippi. But he said, I want to make sure you're taken care of, because this was a special bond between the church of Philippi and Paul. He established that church, Acts chapter 16. And there was a special bond between him and this church. And we've looked at that in Philippians 1 and 2. But he wanted him to be taken care of. And he said, if I can't go, I want to send somebody to you. And that somebody I want to send to you is Timothy. And so the idea was he gave us some of the characteristics of Timothy in his life. And it begins to make sense to me. Timothy was a second man. Who was the leader in that relationship? It was Paul. Paul was the one who was the preacher. Paul was the one who set the plan. Paul was the one who set the course of action. Paul set everything, but Timothy came alongside him and followed him. And again, it wasn't that Paul was a pastor. He was just a missionary for Christ. And Timothy was a second man that came alongside him as a lay person. And that's the idea. And I began to think about this. Paul was the poured out drink offering. Not the sacrifice, but the drink offering. And Timothy was the second man. He was the one that was there to meet the needs as a second man. And I got praying for this church as I walked around this church and went through every seat, because some of you are creatures of habit and you sit basically in the same spot, so I could visualize where you're at. I began to pray that maybe God would speak to somebody's hearts through the life of Timothy, that you could be a second man. A second lady, one behind the scenes that makes a difference, and that was Timothy. So I want to take a look at the life of Timothy just for a few moments, because this is the second example of a spiritual servant. It's Timothy. Paul called him his beloved son in the faith. And because of the imprisonment, it prevented Paul from going to Philippi, as I said. So you'll find out that I trust in verse 19, I trust in the Lord to send Timothy. That trust is a deep longing in his heart to fulfill God's plan. Paul never wanted to do anything independent of his master's will. And so no doubt, Paul had earnestly prayed for God's direction, and God gave him the peace to send Timothy instead of him. So he wanted instead to send Timothy. If he couldn't go, Timothy was the next choice that he would send to go and be an encouragement. So who is Timothy? Let me set the background for Timothy. This is interesting to me. Timothy was from Lystra. His mother was Eunice. And I want to show you that he's just a common folk like you and like me. His mother was Eunice. She was a Jew. But his father was a Greek. And I want to let you know, and I've researched this out to find this, and I don't know, I wasn't there. But I do believe Eunice was a born-again believer, and she was a Jew, a very good Jew, and loved the Old Testament, because that's what they had. But his father was a Greek. I do believe he was unsaved. So he grew up in his home was unequally yoked together. Eunice was a born-again Christian, the mom. The dad was unsaved. But both his mother and grandmother were believers. And Paul probably, on his first missionary journey, probably led Timothy to Christ as he came through Lystra on his first missionary journey. That's what we think. Now, his mother and grandmother had instructed Timothy in the Old Testament. That's why it says in 2 Timothy, which Paul wrote to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. That's why we believe that when Paul's trip through Lystra, Timothy got saved because his mom and grandmother had given him the gospel and prepared his heart to be saved. And when Paul came in and preached, that's why it's wonderful that kids are under different teachings there in the home and in junior church and different things like this, that one day somebody comes and presents the gospel to them and they're ready to get saved and know Christ. Well, that was Timothy. But he was not circumcised as a child, because I believe that was the influence of an unsaved father. And he was influenced in Greek learning and culture from his dad. But his combined Jewish and Greek heritage made him uniquely qualified to minister the gospel with Paul to a Gentile world. But in order to make him more acceptable to the Jews after he got along with Paul, Paul had him told him he had to get circumcised in Acts chapter 16. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. And when he went forth with him, began to travel with Paul, Paul took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those quarters, for all knew that his father was a Greek. So that he could relate to the Greeks, because he had a father who was Greek, everybody knew that. But to relate to the Jews, Paul had him circumcised so they would accept his teachings as he worked with the Jews and Greeks as well. By the time of this writing, Timothy had been a constant companion with Paul for about 10 years. So from the time he got saved, and then he began to join Paul after his first missionary journey. And so for about 10 years, he had traveled with Paul and grown under Paul. But I want you to know this. Timothy was just simply a normal folk. Because you find in the writings of 2 Timothy, and I'll preach through the book of 2 Timothy because it's a wonderful book. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says, Paul said this, "Let no man despise your youth, Timothy." He knew he was immature. He knew he was young in the faith. He said, "Let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of believers in word and conversation, in love and spirit, in faith and in purity." He said, "Till I come, give attendance." Remember, keep reading. "To exhortation, to doctrine." Stick by the stuff, Timothy. "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." Paul also wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he told Timothy, "Flee youthful lusts." Because Timothy was young. He was very immature at times. But he said, "Follow righteousness and faith and love and peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart." So Paul saw the potential in Timothy, but he knew Timothy had to grow. And that's God. God sees the potential. Maybe there's a Timothy in this room. There's a lady or man that second man behind the scene that this message will speak to your heart, and you will become that Timothy to make a difference behind the scenes for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's what Timothy was. He was a man that was behind the scenes. Timothy was with Paul in Corinth, was sent into Macedonia and accompanied Paul on his return trip to Rome. He was with Paul when he wrote Romans and 1 and 2 Thessalonians and 2 Corinthians and Philippians and Colossians. He was Paul's eyes and ears in Corinth and Thessalonica and Ephesus and Philippi. Timothy was faithful and dependable. In every way, he clearly qualified to minister in Philippi. That's why Paul wanted to send him. And Paul, not knowing if he was going to be released or die, he sent Timothy to go to Philippi because he wanted the Philippians to accept Timothy without hesitation. So he gives us a little bit of a profile of Timothy. This is the life of Timothy. So he wanted the Philippians to accept him as if it were Paul coming to him. Paul said, "You need to accept Timothy as if it's me coming, because here is the profile. Here are the characteristics of Timothy." Six of them, real quickly. Number one, he had a kindred spirit with Paul. If you see it in verse number 20, it said, "I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." I have no man like-minded. First of all, Paul says that Timothy had a kindred spirit. He was like-minded. Timothy had been instructed in the Old Testament scriptures by his mom and his grandmother from a child. And he was highly regarded by those who knew him. Acts chapter 16. Yet the thing that set him apart in his relationship with Paul, that he was like-minded. It comes from the Greek word, that word like-minded, from ipsachios. It means one soul. Paul was around many great men in his day. Silas, Barnabas, John Mark, some you've heard of, Peter. He was with many great pastors as he traveled all over Europe and Asia. Yet he tells the Philippian church that there was no one that was more, no man was like-minded, more like-minded like him than Timothy. What a compliment. They thought the same things. Now, I want you to understand this. When Paul says Timothy was like-minded, it didn't mean they had the same exact likes and dislikes. We know Paul, and I'm just figuring out this from Paul. Paul never said it, but he loved the Corinthians games because he wrote about it. So he was some type of an athlete. He would have loved the Olympics, upcoming Olympics. He talked about boxing as one that beateth the air. He talked about running the race, and he gets those ideas. So I'm looking at Paul as a sports guy. Loved sports, loved the Corinthian games. He was a go-getter. He was built. And I look at Timothy just opposite. Timothy wouldn't have been a track star. He would have been a golfer. Yeah, huh? Would have been a golfer. He didn't get into all that stuff. I think from just a human standpoint, Timothy and Paul were just literally, in some respects, polar opposites. They had different likes and dislikes. Paul was a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Timothy's father was a Greek. They grew up in different lives. But yet Paul said that he is like-minded, because he said that because when it came to the gospel, he was like-minded like Paul. He was there for the furtherance of the gospel. He shared a bond with Christ in the work of the gospel. And over the course of time, Timothy came to think like Paul in the gospel. He began to relate to believers and unbelievers like Paul did. He began to evaluate ideas and situations like Paul did. He began to trust in the Lord like Paul did. I think he began to pray like Paul did. Folks, I got to travel with Neighborhood Bible Time, and this church used to have Neighborhood Bible Time and had some big results. And Neighborhood Bible Time was just, the number one children's program all over the United States. I got to travel for 2 years. My biggest rally, I had 1,100 kids in my rally. It was just a tremendous program. But it was run by a man who could offend you, and he would offend you if he came to this church. Brother Holmes was very offensive. He wasn't a great preacher by any means. He just didn't have that connection with people. But you know what that man could do? He could pray. I never saw a man pray like that. And for the first time in my life, I got involved in a ministry, and I wondered why Bible Time was so successful. And then when I got there, I understood why. Because at 6 in the morning till 9 in the morning, he never got off his knees. From 1 o'clock till 4 o'clock, he never got off his knees. From 9 o'clock till midnight, he never got off his knees. I have never seen a man pray that could know God and pray with God like he did. I remember after being there for about a week and a half, he must have saw a little bit of potential in me, because he said, "Brian, I want you to come in and pray with me." I started on my knees. After an hour, I went to my bottom. And after another hour, I went to my side. Another hour, I went to my knees again. I was just infatuated. I've never seen a man talk with God like God was right there. It changed my life. I know prayer works. And I know there's power in prayer. And that's what I see like Timothy. He had a kindred spirit because he sat under the influence of Paul. He wasn't like Paul probably in any way. Paul was outgoing and offended everywhere he went, but Timothy would go in and pick up the pieces. He was a kind-spirited man. They were opposites in the world. They had the same mind when it came to the things of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul said the first characteristic of Timothy, he was a kindred spirit. But number two, he was sympathetic. You see that? He will naturally care for your state. He would be genuine concerned about your welfare. He had strong feelings for something or somebody. That's the idea behind naturally care for your state, to the point where you become burdened over it. He felt deeply for their needs. You know, some of you could know what I'm talking about here. You've talked with somebody before, and they listened to you, but were they really listening to you? You've all experienced that. You're telling them your heart. You're giving them your heart. You're telling them something that you're battling, and you know they're there listening, but are they really listening? I mean, all they're thinking about is what they're going to say to you, or all what they're thinking about is what's going on in their life, how they're going to tell you all about their lives. And they're really not listening to you. You've all experienced that. But that wasn't Timothy. Boy, when you talked to Timothy, you knew he cared. When you talked to Timothy, you knew he had a passion. I've tried to learn that through the ministry of this life, and I'm not perfect at it, but I tell you what, when you hurt, I'll be honest with you, folks, I hurt. When you cry, I cry. When you rejoice, I rejoice. That was Timothy. Timothy, he said he'll come and he'll naturally care for your state because he was sympathetic. But not only was he a kindred spirit, he had the right mindset toward the things of God. But number two, he was sympathetic. But number three, he was single-minded. Not like-minded, but he was single-minded. You know, Paul had saw some things in Rome when he was in Rome. And I know he was under chain by the Praetorian Guard, and he couldn't leave the shelter that he was, the prison where he was. He couldn't leave it. But people could come into him. And so for 24/7, he had a guard on his, and he never left that one dwelling place for 2 years. He couldn't get around, but he heard. And we find that in Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. He said, some indeed preach. These are the pastors that were in Rome. Some of them preach Christ they preach it with envy and strife, and some of goodwill. But the one preach Christ of contention. They don't preach it sincerely. They supposed to add to my afflictions. They're saying stuff like, he knew what they were saying. You know, Paul's in prison because he's such a jerk. If he'd just keep his mouth shut, he wouldn't be in prison. If Paul just wasn't so bold in his presentation of the gospel, we wouldn't have this problem. Paul is just out of this world. And they preached with contention and strife against Paul. Paul knew it. He saw it. He saw the way preachers were responding and acting. And despite his presence with them, many preachers and the church leaders became worldly and self-centered in that day. Many of Paul's converts were seeking their own interests. Now, it didn't mean they weren't going to church or they weren't serving at all, but they didn't have that single-minded. You know, people come to church because, well, Pastor, we're supposed to come to church. That's wonderful. I'm glad you're here. But when God uses a church is when it's single-minded, when it's your desire not just to come and fill a spot, not just to come and put in your time, but you're single-minded. You're here for the furtherance of the gospel. You're here to send missionaries all across this world. And by the way, in January, I'm excited. We're looking at taking on 2 or 3 missionaries. Man, let's get the gospel everywhere. Let's be of one minded. Let's get the gospel out in this area for Christ. Let's have a mindset that I'm going to live godly in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul's saying here. He was like-minded. He was unlike the other preachers. Many of them were given to laziness and apathy. Many of them dabbled in a lot of things, but they weren't single-minded in none. Many had given up on Paul in Rome, but not Timothy. Timothy was not going to get caught up in the distractions of the world. He was single-minded that the gospel had to go forth. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, churches have gotten out of its mindset. We want to give people things. We want to give them supplies. We want to feed them. And nothing wrong with that. I'm not criticizing them, but that's not what the world needs. You know what the world needs? They need God. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died, he buried, and he rose again. That's what they need. But we've gotten away from that. The preachers in Rome had gotten away from that. But folks, Timothy hadn't. Paul said he's right there. He knows exactly what needs to be done. He knows it's the gospel that makes a difference. He knows it's the gospel that will change lives. He's like-minded. But number 4, he says he was seasoned. Look at verse 22. Again, in verse 21, for they seek their own, not the things which are Christ. He was like-minded. But ye know the proof of him in verse 22. That means he was seasoned. Paul did not have to convince the church of Philippi, because they knew of his proven worth, because he'd been with Paul for 10 years. Timothy was tested. You know, in the time that why he was following the Lord, agitators from Thessalonica forced Paul to leave Berea. I mean, they were up to here with Paul, and they forced him to leave their countryside. But you know what? You know who stayed behind? Timothy did. They accepted Timothy. It wasn't because he didn't give the gospel up, but he wasn't as bold and as anxious as Paul was. He just came in with a different mindset. That's why he was such a great man. Timothy could reach some people that Paul didn't. Timothy could make a difference in the lives of some that Paul would just offend along the way. He was seasoned. It was him. Paul sent Timothy and Erastus into Macedonia to carry on the work that he had established. When Paul wrote 2 Corinthians, why he was in Corinth, he mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, Paul said, sends greetings from Timothy, my brother. Timothy was with him. And Corinth was a struggling church. And so he was seasoned. He had been with Paul. Paul said, but ye know the proof of him. He said, don't worry. He's going to handle you just fine. Number five, he said, but he's also submissive. And that of a son of a father in verse 22, he has served with me. He has served with me. I like that. Even though Paul says that Timothy was like a son to him, Paul makes it clear that Timothy's service was not to him, but with him, folks. That's what I love about this church. I love working with the men in this church because you know what? I'm not mechanical. To build a room, put a room up, if you let me do it, you wouldn't even want to see it when it was done. I'm not mechanical. But you know what? When I have the privilege to work with the men in this church, they let me work with them. I don't work for them. I've made that my policy as the pastor of Faith Baptist Church. I don't want you to work for me. You know what I want? I want you to work with me. That's what Paul did. He made clear that Timothy didn't work for him. Oh, he was the second man. He went where Paul told him to go. He did anything Paul wanted him to do. He would do anything for Paul. Paul left him to clean up the situations that he made a disaster of. But he made it clear, Timothy wasn't here to work for me, but Timothy was here to work with me. They bonded together in Christ. They were Christ's servants doing the will of the Lord. Timothy was not only Paul's co-worker, but he was God's fellow worker in the gospel. This was not a forced submission, but an earned respect. So I see the fifth characteristic, that he was submissive. Even though he didn't have to be, he could have said, Paul, you don't own me. But you know what? He saw the value of Paul. He saw what Paul was trying to accomplish for the furtherance of the gospel, that Paul was making a difference all over Asia and Europe. He was as God was using him to establish churches, and those churches that he established back then, we still exist today because of the Apostle Paul and what he wrote in these letters and what he taught. Timothy said, you know what? I want to come alongside and work with him. Because he was submissive. But number six, he was sacrificial. Almost through. He was sacrificial in the gospel. Timothy surrendered his life to Christ somewhere after he got saved in Lystra. And when he gave his life to Christ, he began a nonstop adventure that would bring him great fruitfulness and spiritual satisfaction, folks. But giving his life to Christ and serving him, it was going to involve suffering and sacrifice. Like Paul, he would eventually be in prison for his faith, and he would die. For the Lord's sake, he left a godly mother and a grandmother and his home. And there's no evidence in Scripture, I looked everywhere, that he ever was married or had children or experienced the joys of family life. He simply said, this is what God wants me to do for his glory. See, he was sacrificial. He just said, whatever you want, Lord, I'll do. This is what he put up. He said he's like-minded. He's sympathetic. He's single-minded. He has the right purpose. He knows what it takes to build a church. He knows what I want for a church and what God has given me in Scripture. If Timothy were to come today, he would know. He wouldn't try to change this church, I don't believe, because I think we follow the New Testament pretty well. We try to. Paul knew that if he went to Philippi, he wasn't going to go in and change the music. He wasn't going and change the preaching. He wasn't going to go in and change anything because he was like-minded. But he was sacrificial. He was submissive. And the last thing you'll see, and I'm through, he was available. It says, but you know the proof of him that served as a father. He served with me in the gospel. Him in verse 23, therefore I send presently. That means immediately. I can send Timothy immediately. You know why? Because he's willing to go. I could send Timothy anywhere at this moment, and he'd go wherever I asked him to go. If that would make a difference for the gospel. He was available. From the context, Paul makes it clear that Timothy was willing to do whatever was asked of him simply because he was willing and a dependable and a joyful servant of Jesus Christ. Those are the characteristics of Timothy. As far as I know, he never really became the outstanding pastor of any church. He never became like Paul that was given to train the churches and to establish the churches and reach a Gentile nation. That was never given to Timothy. It didn't seem like God ever gave Timothy certain direction to go. It was always Paul that gave Timothy direction. That's why I called Timothy the second man. He was behind the scenes. I think he was quiet. I think he was simple. But he said one day, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. He simply became a wonderful second man because he was single-minded. He was like-minded. He was sympathetic. He was seasoned. He was submissive. He was sacrificial. And simply the best part of all, he simply was available. He said, God, if you want to use me, use me. See, Paul wanted to convince the church of Philippi that when Timothy came to visit you, and he's going to come back and give me a report, he's not going to try to change anything. He's just going to be a huge, huge blessing to you. It's going to be the same as I went. But I see it more than that. Paul wanted to set an example. Because I think there's a second man or second lady in the church where you're not called specifically to go to a mission field, or maybe you're not called specifically to pastor a church. But there's something you can do behind the scenes to make a difference. That's what Timothy did, because he had these characteristics. What an example. What a godly example. A whole different than Paul. He was quiet. He wasn't the preacher Paul was. He wasn't the soul winner Paul was. I like that. When I think of soul winning, you know who I think about? Our missionary to Cambodia, Dr. Johnson. I wish I could soul win like him. I've never seen anybody witness like he witnesses. I wish I could preach like Dr. Cummins used to preach, one of my heroes in the faith. I wish I could preach like he preached, but I can't. Because God's made me specifically like he made me, for his glory. I don't have to be Dr. Johnson. I don't have to be Dr. Cummins. I simply have to be what God wants me to be. And that's what God wants for you. Simply to be what God wants you to be. And it may be behind the scenes. You'll never write a book. You'll never get accolades. Matter of fact, you may not even ever get recognized. Until one day. One day you will. We see Paul in heaven and we think, wow, what a great servant of God. But you know what? After studying this out, I look at Timothy, and you know what I say? What a great servant of God. The second man. The example for you and for me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the writing of the book of Philippians. I didn't understand this passage when I first got into this book, but I'm beginning to see it. Paul gave us the principles. Now he just simply wants to give us some examples of what we can do, what we can accomplish. One like Paul, a drink offering. One like Timothy, a sympathizer. Then next week we'll look at one like Epaphroditus, just simply a layperson that desired to please the Lord. Lord, raise up a Timothy. Raise up somebody that would handle and care for these characteristics in their lives, that behind the scenes, they could accomplish your plan and purpose for their lives. So we thank you for the truth of God's word and the example that we have in the life of Timothy. God, use it to strengthen Faith Baptist Church and what we need to accomplish for you.